This is Jackie Jensen of the Boston Red Sox. In a few moments, I'll tell you about my greatest sports thrill. This is Harry Wismer. What you're about to hear is a transcribed story of one of baseball's outstanding players and an event our special guest, Jackie Jensen, considers his greatest sports thrill. And Jackie himself is here to tell us all about it. But first, here is Bill Reddick with a message of interest from your United States Air Force.
Any great baseball star has years of practice and training behind him. Specialized training can pay off for you, too. Perhaps you're wondering where you can get the finest training leading to a bright career in the age of space. The answer is in the United States Air Force. It's true. The Air Force has the broadest and most complete range of space-age training available. That's because the Air Force is in charge of thousands of jets, rockets, and missiles. In the years to come, Air Force participation in space projects will grow, and so will the number of career fields. So, be wise. Join the Air Force for valuable training and bright career opportunities. In addition, you will have a chance for foreign travel. Receive 30-day annual paid vacations and other extras. Get the full story on the Air Force career tailored to your abilities. See your local Air Force recruiter soon. Now, back to Harry Wismer.
It's a long way from the Golden Gate to the Bay State, but in that vast expanse of land, a multitude of sports fans are familiar with the spectacular climb of Jackie Jensen, the Golden Gate's gift to the baseball world, who achieved a stunt that no other athlete in America had ever accomplished before. When the Baseball Writers Association of America officially voted Jackie Jensen the outstanding player of the American League in 1958, Jensen became the first athlete ever to be named to a football All-American team and the Major League's most valuable player. But even before Jackie won the coveted dual honor, he already had become the only athlete ever to play in a Rose Bowl game and a World Series. This quiet, unassuming star from the University of California has been on the threshold of greatness for 5 years, but it wasn't until the 1958 season, when he batted in the most runs in the American League, came close to winning the home run crown, and defeated such standouts as Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, Roy Sievers, Yogi Berra, Bob Turley, and Rocky Colavito for the Most Valuable Player Award, did Jackie Jensen's exploits captivate the country. Rival managers in the junior circuit, Al Lopez and Paul Richards, are calling Jensen the best right fielder in the American League. A fearsome, right-handed power hitter, Jackie has developed into one of the best clutch hitters in baseball. The 35 home runs that Jackie Jensen walloped in 1958 were the most he had hit since breaking into Major League Baseball in 1950. So were his 122 runs batted in. So was his 535 slugging average. In contrast to previous years when Jensen was the target of a barrage of booing for hitting into a record number of double plays, he is now receiving thunderous applause at Fenway Park in Boston. The booing was unfair, especially when you delve into the vital statistics known as the RBIs and learn that Jackie Jensen knocked in more runs from the start of the 1953 season through the end of the 1958 campaign than any other player in the American League. And that takes in a large order when players like Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, Roy Sievers, Yogi Berra, and Rocky Colavito have to be considered, for they have been the chief power hitters for the past 6 years. Jackie Jensen's first Major League team was the New York Yankees, and it cost them a lot of money to land him. But he came to the Boston Red Sox for a great deal less. His travel ticket was via Washington, which had acquired him from the Yankees back in 1952. In December 1953, he was shipped to the Boston club in a 3-for-1 deal, one of the best that Boston general manager Joe Cronin ever made. During his years with the Red Sox, Jackie Jensen has driven in 555 runs and has hit 111 RBIs and 25 home runs a season. When Jensen reported to the Yankees St. Petersburg spring training camp in 1950, he was immediately... The big thrill of reporting to the Yankees was Jackie Jensen's chance to be a teammate of his hometown hero, Joe DiMaggio. And he showed it in his hitting. Jackie tied Joe in exhibition game homers, but when the regular season started at the stadium, Jensen was strictly utility. In fact, at times, manager Casey Stengel wondered what kind of deal the Yankees had made in obtaining this great Pacific Coast football hero. In 1950, Jackie Jensen managed to get into 45 games and hit a miserable 171. However, he did make the World Series, but only by asking. In the eighth inning of the third game against the Phillies, Bobby Brown reached first on an error when he batted for Hank Bauer. The score was tied at the time, 2-2. Brown wasn't much of a runner, and when Stengel was looking over the bench, Jackie jumped up, yelled, "I'll run," and was out there on first base before anybody could stop him. Jensen was that anxious to get into the game. In 1951, Stengel sent Jensen to Kansas City. He begged Stengel to move him to San Francisco under the tutelage of Lefty O'Doul, but the Yankee manager refused. When he was recalled in midseason, Jensen did all right. He banged out 8 homers and finished with a .298 average in 56 games. When Jackie Jensen reported to spring training in 1952, he felt that he had no chance to make the club. Where could he fit in the lineup with Mickey Mantle, Hank Bauer, and Gene Woodling in the outfield? He was ready to give up baseball and try out for the San Francisco 49ers in the National Football League. Yet, when the Yankees broke camp, Jackie Jensen, not Mickey Mantle, opened the season in center field for New York. Jensen had a great spring, pounding the ball to all parts of the outfield. And with Mantle not fully recovered from his leg injury sustained in the World Series the previous October, Stengel was happily settling for the Golden Boy of California. But 1 month later, Jackie Jensen was traded to Washington. When he arrived in Washington, manager Bucky Harris immediately placed Jackie in right field and batted him in the third spot. Harris's psychology was quickly rewarded. Jensen put together a 21-game hitting streak that zoomed his average to .305 by early July and was named to the American League All-Star team. In 1953, Washington, in need of a pitcher, sent Jackie Jensen to the Boston Red Sox. It was the nicest thing that ever happened to Jensen and the Red Sox. Playing alongside Ted Williams has inspired Jackie Jensen, and today he is considered one of the most dangerous hitters in the American League. And if what he showed in 1958 is any indication, the Golden Boy from the Golden Gate will be around for many years to come. Truly an all-American boy, no matter what field he plays on. Now, before you meet our special guest, Jackie Jensen, in person, and hear about his greatest sports thrill, here is a message of interest to all young men with an eye on the future.
High school graduates, have you ever met your local Air Force recruiter? If not, you'll be favorably impressed when you do. First of all, your local recruiter has all the facts and figures about the new age of space and the many interesting job openings in the Air Force. Your recruiter will point out the fine technical training available in over 40 career fields, and he'll give you the full story on the many space-age advances being developed by the Air Force. For example, the radical new jet bombers and fighters, the X-15 space plane, the Titan intercontinental missile. The Air Force space-age picture is an exciting one, and it can also be especially rewarding for you. If, after seeing your local recruiter, you decide to join, you'll serve with a fine group of men. So, see your local recruiter today and find out about your place in the expanding space age of tomorrow in the U.S. Air Force. And now, back to Harry Wismer.
Jackie Jensen, what was your greatest sports thrill?
Well, I have to tell you, I played on the same baseball team with Joe DiMaggio and the same baseball team with Ted Williams. Those were childhood idols of mine, and to think someday in my career that I was able to play with them in the same outfield has been one of the biggest thrills of my life. Of course, I have one other thrill that occurred in 1958, and that was receiving the Most Valuable Player Award, and it happened to be my chance, and I was fortunate enough to get it.
Jackie, having come into the majors as a New York Yankee, Do you think that being traded away may have helped you develop sooner as a ball player?
Yes and no. I did get the opportunity to play regularly down in Washington. I enjoyed that, and I'm sure that with the experience that I received down there, it helped immensely with the past seasons I've had with the Boston Red Sox. Possibly no, only because that I'd like to have stayed with the Yankees because they are Mr. Baseball of baseball, and the opportunities to be in a World Series are pretty regular. I think that's another dream that any Major League ball player has, and that's to play in a World Series.
Jackie, does that short left field wall in Fenway Park favor the right-handed hitters as much as they say it does?
Well, I have to give you another yes and no on that, Harry. It proves quite a problem to a right-handed hitter if the pitcher that is on the mound at the time is capable and has good control and can more or less tease you with balls that are outside, and you still try to hit that wall, try to pull the ball, and consequently, a lot of times, you'll just pop up or ground the ball into the dirt. I'll have to say that it certainly has helped me. Balls that I hit in left center and in dead center field are up against the wall and sometimes over it. Generally speaking, if you have enough experience at playing Fenway Park, you certainly can take advantage of it.
Jackie, having been a teammate of Ted Williams for so many years, give us a little insight on this man.
I have a very prejudiced opinion, Harry, since I've seen very few of the real great hitters that have been ball players in the past, like Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth and Gehrig and the rest of them. I've only had the opportunity to see fellows like Johnny Mize and Joe DiMaggio and Ted, and there's no doubt in my mind that Ted's the greatest hitter that I've ever seen, and of course he has the records to prove that he's probably one of the greatest hitters that ever lived.
Do you recall the first pitcher you ever faced as a major leaguer?
When I went to pinch hit with the New York Yankees in 1950, I was as nervous as a cat in a room full of dogs, and I'm sure that I couldn't remember anything at that time except other than I'm trying to swing the bat and hit the ball. I don't remember the name of the pitcher, no.
Having played for two other clubs, the Yankees and Washington, do you find yourself giving out with just a little extra against former teammates?
No, I may give out a little bit more against the Yankees only because that you have to do that in order to beat them. They're a good ball club, and they play sound baseball, and you try not to make any mistakes because the mistakes that you make are the ones that they take advantage of. I just try to bear down at all times. One club is the same as the other. This is a job to us, and we try to do the best we can.
What manager, Jackie, coach, or player has been most helpful in your development as a ball player?
Well, at the time that my development actually took root, so to speak, it was with my first year with the Yankees, and I was very fortunate in having one of the finest baseball managers in baseball with the club then, and still is, Casey Stengel. He's a real good manager on fundamentals, and to me, that is the biggest thing of baseball. Whenever a slump occurs or you don't seem to be going right, you just try to revert back to the fundamentals that have been taught to you. And that's something that Casey tries and strives to teach his young ball players, is fundamentals and fundamentals. And to me, Casey taught me quite a bit. And naturally, when I was traded to Washington, I was able to use a little bit of these fundamentals, and consequently has benefited me through the years. I think he's a real fine manager with a real fine organization. As a ball player, the fellow that helped me was an outfielder with the New York Yankees at the time, and the fellow that I have a great amount of respect, and because I was a rookie and he was a veteran, but took time enough to help me as much as he could and help me in more ways than one, and that was Gene Woodling, a real fine gentleman and a fine Major League Baseball player.
Thank you very much, Jackie Jensen of the Boston Red Sox, one of baseball's outstanding players.
Greatest Sports Thrills with Top Personalities in the World of Sports is narrated by Harry Wismer, directed by Gene Kirby, written by Arthur Suskin Jr., and presented by the United States Air Force in cooperation with this station. This is Bill Reddick speaking. The preceding was transcribed.